Beloved congregation, dear parents, you brought your lovely children to church this morning. And in a way, we could say you carried them to church. And also, you carried your children to the baptismal font. You carried them. Children development involves a child learning to stand on his or her own two feet. First of all, literally. That this does not come naturally, you know this too well. You will do all you can to raise your child to become independent. In spiritual life, things are different. The Lord created us, and He was present at the very beginning of our lives. And most of us were born in a Christian family and brought up with God's Word. The Lord surrounds us with His care. And His goal is not that we will become independent from Him. Then what? He wants us to be dependent on Him more and more. We must unlearn to stand on our own two feet, since the Lord has revealed that He promises to carry us. This morning, the Lord has signed and sealed this promise by the sacrament of baptism. He will carry us. The theme of the sermon is, I will carry you. We will consider this theme from three perspectives. First of all, who is carried? Secondly, since when? And thirdly, a rich promise. I will carry you. Who is carried? Since when? A rich promise. Who is the Lord to His people? He carries His people. Like a mother carries her child, so the Lord will carry His people. What a touching picture. Carrying a child has already started in the womb. Mothers, from the very moment you discovered you were pregnant, your motherly feelings arose. Right away, you felt the need to protect the new life. With your body and mind, you took care of the unborn life. And what does a mother do when her child is born? She embraces it in her arms and nourishes it. She takes care of it, hugs and cuddles it. In the ancient Near East, mothers always carried their children, even while at work, whether they worked in the fields or left home to draw water from a well, a mother always carried her baby child. A beautiful picture. And perhaps you already discern some lessons from this image of the Lord's care. And you think, this is what the Lord is. He is the I Am, the Lord who cares, protects, and sustains His people. And as we see this wonderful picture of the Lord's care, there is something we should not lose sight of. What? That the Lord carries His people not because His people are so good and righteous. We are not carried by the power of God's love because we ask for it. Every time we read in Scripture about God carrying His people, we learn that He carries in spite of His people. We read about God carrying His people though they were often so miserable. God reveals His tender care to His people even when the people are not serving God. And therefore, it is a humbling lesson when we read about God carrying His people. In Isaiah 46, we read about this sad background as well. The shocking reality is that the people do not want to be carried at all. They do not want to be carried at all. It would rather carry its dumb idols. We read this in the first verses of this chapter. The god Bel and Nebo are mentioned. Those are Babylonian idols. Israel started serving these idols. How? Well, by making images of them. This is what we read in verse 5 and following. The images are made of precious metals like gold or silver. In fact, idols empty your wallet. You pay a goldsmith, he makes an image, you put it somewhere, you bow before it, you have to lug it around, you carry it through the streets on holidays to the honor of the idols. That is what the idols demand of the people. They need to be carried. You're always busy with them. They cost money and energy, but they yield nothing. And at the end of your life, you are left with nothing. The idols promise a lot, but at death, they abandon you. You will remain alone. And do you recognize this in our days as well? What are the idols of our days? The god of money and wealth? They devour our time and energy. They claim the time that should be given to our children. The children we receive to raise in the fear of the Lord. What takes priority? The souls of our children, of their material prosperity. This is an uncovering question because we live in a world that has no regard for our poor souls. A world that demands our attention for all its dainties. And we trudge on under relentless pressure to become rich. We want to achieve our goals, and they demand so much of our attention and energy. What is God's people? Well, let us listen to the Lord and hear what He thinks of His people. He addresses them in verse 8, O ye transgressors. And in verse 12, He says this of His people, ye stout-hearted and are far from righteousness. That is God's people. God's people, of whom the Lord Himself says in Psalm 95, 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Why did the people of Israel misbehave? Because of their depraved heart. Congregation, by nature, we distrust God. We want to stand on our own two feet. Just like a small child that learns to walk by trying. These are the first steps toward independence. This is a healthy development. But in spiritual life, this kind of development is not commendable. It does not go well when the people want to stand on their own two feet, separate from God. Separated from God and independent, wanting to decide for ourselves. That is our natural attitude since our fall in Adam and Eve. Stubborn, pride, proud, selfish. We don't need to teach this to our children. They have inherited this inclination from us. And baptismal water points to our sins and misery. From mother's womb, we are sinners. Have your eyes been opened to this reality? Has this reality humbled you before the Lord? And what about you, parents? We carry our children. That is our task and calling. But we are not called to carry everything of life ourselves. That is sin. It is sin if we live without taking God's will into account. That is living as if we don't need to be carried. What has become of us? Our eyes need to be opened. Need to be opened to this so that we will confess our foolishness before the Lord and pray for His mercy. Now let us pay attention to our second thought, namely, since when the Lord carries His people. Our text points us to a miracle of grace. The Lord says to you this morning, I carried you before you knew it. I am who surrounds you with my promises. I want to be your God. Why would you want to carry idols when you can be carried by me? If we continue life impenitently and unconverted, then we are without hope in this world. And the Lord addresses His people who are busy dragging their idols along. This prophecy is meant for the people in exile in the first place. A remnant of Israel will return from exile. But the Lord does not want His people back carrying idols. He only wants them back if they repent from the idols and return and turn to Him. And therefore He reveals the greatness of His kindness so that their heart might be broken. He continues to look after them. He allures them. The Lord does not say, only if you repent I will carry you. No, the Lord continues where He started. What? Carrying His people. He started to carry His people when He redeemed them from the bondage of Egypt. Arriving at Sinai, the Lord renewed His covenant and He remained faithful. He gave His promise and He gave His provision. What did the Lord say? Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. And at the beginning, the Lord pointed the people to what He states in verse 3. Hearken unto me. That's the same as, O Israel, hear. These words we also find in the morning and evening prayers. They proclaim the heart of Israel's religion. With these words, the Lord says, take heed, my people. Pay close attention to these words. These are words of vital importance. What? I will carry you. And the word carry occurs three times in verse 3 and 4. This emphasizes that the people of Israel exist and continue to be only because of God who carries them. He carries them, though the people have forsaken the Lord and placed other gods on their shoulders. God wants to carry His people, willingly. And He does so with tender love and care like a mother. And this is how He is, in spite of what we are. Think of the people of Israel in the wilderness. At Sinai, when the Lord confirms His covenant with His people, He brings to mind who He is to His people. Exodus 19, ye have seen that what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. On eagle's wings did He carry them. This is an impressive picture of God carrying His people. An eagle stirs up its nest, but the eaglets cannot fly yet. They fall on the rocks. They fall off the nest, and the eagle flutters over its young ones that is about to crash on the rocks. And then she spreads her wings to catch her young one before it reaches the abyss and carries it on her wings. Like the eagle watching and caring for her young ones, God watches and cares for his people. A rich promise. If you seek to put your trust in the Lord, well, all along you feel tossed to and fro and by fear and anxiety. And when the people of Israel stand for the second time at the borders of the promised land, he again reminds the people of his care, Deuteronomy 1, verse 31. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. God carries his people as a man carries his son. In the image of the Lord carrying his people in the past, this is how the Lord is and how he has always been. That is a miracle of grace, congregation. That is a miracle of electing love. The people who did not ask for God are carried by God, by the God who made a covenant with them. Is the Lord willing to look after me? I think this is a fair question. If we look at self, but if we look to the Lord who has signed and sealed his promise this morning, then there is hope. After all, he promises, I will carry you. I can carry you. I include you in my covenant of grace. God's promises are addressed to you and your children. And isn't that what Mava and Sawyer need? Isn't that what we all need? The Lord promises to surround us with his most tender care. He can give us a new heart. He can cleanse us from our sin. He can surround us with his fatherly care. He can carry us like a mother carries her child. How? In the way of surrendering to him and responding in repentance and faith. In the way of acknowledging our stubbornness, our unwillingness to be carried with the confession of sin and guilt. In the way of praying for his mercy, by his grace, he is most willing to receive sinners. For after all, he is the God who carries. And he continues to do so, even in the old age, says our text. We hear a rich promise in our third point. The Lord does not change, even if our strength fails when we get older. He does not change, even if we go astray time and again, which we must confess with shame every day. From the womb to the old age, the Lord remains the same for his people. After all, he is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He encompasses all of life. Whatever highs and lows happen in our lives, he continues to carry. He is full of love and mercy. He carries with care, tenderness, prudence, compassion, and mercy. Isaiah expresses this by using different verbs for God's carrying in the second half of our text. Just read along with me. First of all, I have made. Here is not meant God's power of creation, first of all, as it is used here. We also find in, for instance, Psalm 37, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. meaning that he will make it well. What will the Lord make? What will the Lord make and bring to pass? Well, meant here is his government, his providence. The Lord will make it so that we shall marvel. He will provide so that we will rejoice. And thus we also find it in Isaiah 44, verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. The Lord has made it. He brings it to pass. When God makes, he makes it well. Regardless of our life circumstances, whether we are sick or healthy, whether we experience difficulties of life, many difficulties maybe, he acts in such a way that it will be to his honor and glory and to our salvation. That is God's way of carrying. He has done so in the past, and he will do so in the future. The next verb is to bear. We could say that this is the same as carrying, and you're right. And yet another Hebrew word is used here. It means to take up. The Lord needs to take up his people. Not because they have been fallen out of his hands. No, meant is here that he must pick them up since they have gone astray. And that's the ongoing problem with God's people. We so easily go on wandering paths. So often we must confess before the Lord, like a sheep, we have gone astray. But listen to the Lord's gracious promise. I will bear. I will stoop down to you, wandering sheep. Like a shepherd, I will go out to seek and find that which is lost. We can think of a common shepherd going down the wandering paths of his sheep, which lead him to the deepest gulf, which no man can ordinarily reach. But to this shepherd, no sheep is unreachable. The wandering sheep, which is wounded by its fall, will be borne, lifted up, borne by him. He takes it up and carries it up on his shoulders to the sheepfold. He does so with care, compassion, love, and perseverance. He will also deliver his people, says the closing words of the text. That means that he will persevere his people, since with the Lord is always a way of escape. A way of escape. How different if we try to find an escape by ourselves, namely when we lean on something or someone other than the Lord and his word. And then if death is about to take us, we will find no escape. But with the Lord, there are many deliverances. He will carry his people to the land of the promise. He will carry his people safely home through many dangers. How can he do so? Well, now we have come to the deepest meaning of our words. God promises to carry his people. He can do so only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. These words are particularly applicable to the Son. By him, God has fully revealed his covenant name, Jehovah. Christ's person and life perfectly reflects the content of these words, I will carry you. For that purpose, he condescended to us fallen creatures here on earth. He became a real man, adopting our human nature. And only in this way he could become a perfect mediator for his people. And for that purpose, the Father sent his Son into this world. And as mediator, he has carried his people. How? by taking upon himself their sin and guilt. What sin? What guilt? Well, the sin of carrying our lives by ourselves. The sin of carrying idols, trusting in our own strength. The sin of putting our trust in the power of others or in our money or whatever apart from God. Putting our trust in treatments, medication, doctors. The Lord, against whom we have sinned, is so merciful and gracious. He is able and willing to carry you by taking your sin and iniquity from you and laying them upon his only begotten Son, the only perfect mediator. And we see him walking through the streets of Jerusalem, heading to the place of a skull. He bore his cross, tells John in his gospel. His cross, the cross of his people, has become his cross. He took upon himself all his people's sin. And in their stead, he was nailed on the cross. He bore the wrath of God. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, you are healed. When he did so, he carried all the names of his people on his heart. Did Isaiah not prophesy of him? In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. So here we find the answer to the question why God can carry his people despite his people's sin and guilt. The answer is only because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. By his spotless life, he has obeyed all God's commandments. From the womb to the end of his life, he has lived his people's life in their stead so that God is fully satisfied with his people. He looks upon them through his beloved Son. And what does he see? His people as if they have satisfied by themselves for all their sins and fulfilled all righteousness. We cannot carry ourselves to God. We in our foolishness and blindness only exclude ourselves. But Jesus Christ carries his own to the Father, since he has fully satisfied the Father's demands. He has promised to carry his own. He carries you by his grace, by which he forgives your sins. He carries you by his care, by which he surrounds you ceaselessly. He carries you with his grace, by which he directs your eyes to himself, so that you will behold him as a perfect Savior. If you behold him, you will experience something of the joy Psalm 68 sings about. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And instead of the words, who daily loadeth us, we should read, who daily bears us. Are you carried by the Lord? Are your children being carried by the Lord? He has promised to do so. To whom? To those who by nature are not willing to be carried by him. And yet he offers to us his grace. He reveals to you this morning, I know what I can expect from you. namely nothing but opposition. I know that I have to deal with stubborn people. I know that I have to do with people who are inclined to remain on their own 2 feet instead of allowing themselves to be carried. And yet, He offers His grace. Therefore, leave the path of sinful independence. Surrender to the Lord as someone who must confess, apart from Thee, I cannot live a life to Thy honor and glory. Apart from Thee, I will go lost. I will carry my own sin. Fall into His gracious hands, which are stretched out to you now, hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are pierced hands, hands which proclaim His infinite love for sinners. The Lord reveals emphatically that He is the one, the only one, who carries. This is stressed in the Hebrew language. We could also read the text, "It is I who have made, and it is I who bear. Even it is I who will carry and will deliver you." So He reveals Himself to you this morning. Here I am. It is I who carries you. Will you not give up all resistance? Will you not surrender to Me? He is ever faithful. He will not disappoint all those who put their trust in Him. Amen.